Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Roll Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time, well, Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. Wednesday means J.C. Cole. And I suppose we're just going to talk about how to make better chocolate today, because there's really nothing else going on in the world that pertains to what we normally talk about. How's J.C.?
Yeah, I think chocolate's out bidding Bitcoin.
Hey, you know what we should talk about? I've been putting this off since Friday because Good Friday's the right day to plant your potatoes, but the Old Farmer's Almanac says that I have until next Tuesday. And today, April 3, is going to be the day that I get my potatoes on the ground covered with straw. You got your potatoes in the ground?
No, it's raining. It's miserable here. It's about 40 degrees and wind and rain, and don't even want to go outside.
We had a miserable wind yesterday. But rain makes potatoes grow, and then you're just, you know, days away from your vodka.
Ah, that's nice. That is nice.
I suppose in Lafayette you had a bit of Russian vodka made from a potato.
I don't know if it was made from potato or not, but we did have a bit. Yeah.
It's not what you said. It's how you said we had a bit.
Yeah. And the sound that sends fear into any foreigner is the cracking of the top of the opening of the bottle of vodka, because then you're expected to finish it. Oh. And so, I've spent many an hour in a sauna drinking vodka.
In a sauna?
Yeah. It's quite the custom. You sit in the sauna, and then you come out of the sauna and you sit at a table and cool down and sip vodka and some tea and munch on a little cucumbers or stuff like this. And then you go back in the sauna. And
no
then, of
kidding.
Course, in the winter, you go and you cut a hole in the ice and jump in the water. Yeah.
I've been told by a number of people that's extremely healthy for you. I guess I just don't have the desire to be that healthy.
Yes. Yes. And I did it. And hopefully once will work for my wife.
<Let's see>. Been there, done that.
No, there is this one guy. I mean, there's this whole belief on health that, you know, if you soak yourself in ice, you build your immunity so well.
Right.
I remember my days in sports when I had to sit in the ice bath, to soak my knees. I'm not real happy about doing that again. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's kind of funny how back in our day, we would go to either the hot tub or we'd go to soak in ice, which ice was typically more preferred. Today, they go get an MRI. And then next thing you know, they've got some meniscus they're fixing.
Yeah, right. So you know, again, every week this world turns crazier and crazier, and of course now we're watching. I remember this whole thing in Baltimore with this bridge breaking, and how, you know, first as a structural engineer, I was just shocked to see that bridge come down in 10 seconds. And even if it was a military strike, it couldn't come down in 10 seconds. So what was going on? But then again, now we're looking at the dominoes falling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll take a couple of years to build. You've got military Navy ships trapped inside. You've got, what else? Carnival Cruise Lines warn of a $10 million loss in profit. Businesses lost all around Baltimore. Insurance can face up to $4 billion. The dominoes just keep on falling. We don't realize how brittle our supply chain is. And this is what we've talked about for a long time. We have to decentralize. Otherwise we're just going to be slammed. You get a couple of hits like that and you can shut down entire cities. And actually, we're watching. Our cities are being shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In an almost related manner, did you see last week they held a black mayor's conference on crime?
Yeah. Right.
And did you hear the quote from the St. Louis mayor, St. Louis, Missouri mayor?
Yeah. Hold the business person responsible.
First of all, if we were to hold a white mayor's conference on crime, people would be arrested. Secondly, yes, she point blank said that most crime occurs around gas stations and convenience stores. It's time these people are accountable to the crime they're allowing to happen on their property.
I'll tell you what, all I need is that AR-15. I'd be real happy to solve some problems for them. Right? Although, I'm sorry, it might drop your voter registration.
No, it won't. It actually will go up. Because we create those. That's not an issue. We don't need people for that.
Right. You know, I just can't. I'm wondering, you know, Trent, are these people actually human? I mean, you know, to come out and say it's the business person's responsibility to stop crime. You know, well, exactly how do you do that?
Isn't it just mob mentality though? I mean, when you get in a group of like-minded people and you start going down paths, you just start pursuing things that I don't think it's anti-human. Maybe it is, but I just think it's you get that mob mentality and you start going places you wouldn't normally go if you stop and think about it.
Well, in a mob mentality, that's true.
Isn't that what that conference was?
Well, I would have hoped it would have been a little more organized and somebody think, you know, but
no,
for God's sake, why don't we just blame all the mayors? I know. Let's blame all the mayors that they're responsible for all crime. And if any crime happens, then they should go to jail. Sounds similar. You know,
actually, it does. It's a really good idea.
Yeah,
but I'm not straying from my mob mentality because I think about the meetings that I go to. So I go to a meeting. Let's just take, for example, where I'm going to be Friday night, a meeting to fight CO2 pipelines in Wesley, Iowa. And when you're in that meeting with these people that all have the same passion and motivation, you could go into a mob mentality type of a group think sort of a scenario. Actually, that's what you're trying to accomplish by being there.
Well, you actually can. And actually, there's a great book. It's called Influence, written by Robert Cialdini, professor of psychology. And they did incredible amount of studies on it and showing, you know, how they put 10 people in a room. And of course, the last person in would be the subject. He didn't know it. And they would do things like, you know, put smoke coming out from underneath the door. Mm-hmm. And nine of the people just kind of ignored it. And the guy goes, hey, shouldn't we be concerned here? Right. And something like 70% of the time, he didn't leave the room. Right. You know, only a few people had discernible thinking and got up and left.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of different studies on it. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes we're like lemmings. And we just go running right over, you know, right over the cliff. You know, it's like, let's just go get an experimental shot for a disease that kills 0.02% of the population. You know, and now you've got to wonder what's happening. Right. And it looks like the world is about ready to ignite.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, speaking of the world igniting, there's one thing that I don't have a lot of time for, is that you have an earthquake in somewhere between Japan and Taiwan. You got serious destruction taking place. And people automatically think that it's engineered. If you look at the history of the world, it has been a series of natural disasters like that that created what we have today. Not every single storm is created by some government HAARP program.
Well, that part's true. you know, and now
we'll let you pick it up with now when we get back with more JC Cole, Trent Luce, Roll Route. We're off and running. 1/4 there, more after this.
I don't think there's been any time since the Chisholm Trail era that the ownership of beef and cows in particular has been more important. Yeah, I'm talking about the access to food and maintaining our sovereignty, no doubt about it. And the cattlemen of the day, the drovers, the vaqueros, brought those cattle up the Chisholm Trail, ultimately bringing this nation back to unity. That's one reason why beef is important. The other reason is that it's the most nutrient-dense food substance you can find on the planet. Upcycling cellulose material into this nutrient density and the certified Piedmontese system creates the opportunity for you as a consumer to have a guaranteed supply of tender beef. Boy, they didn't have that in the Chisholm Trail era. Can you imagine these cattle that walked 1,000 miles? CPBeef.com, and you don't even need to walk to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. CPBeef.com.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce alongside J.C. Cole. Had to cut him off because I believe there are many natural disasters which continue to be at God's hand instead of made by some government intelligence. And you were about to say now. And
well, we've got both sides of that that knife, you know, a double-edged sword, you know, Mother Nature and also, let's say, the military-industrial complex can trigger different faults if they're loaded up. We know this. Okay. So, you know, we live on what's known as a Goldilocks planet. Nobody's really discussed it, but this is the biggie. A Goldilocks planet is, you know, not too hot and not too cold. It basically means that water is almost always in a liquid form, right? It's not frozen and it's not gaseous. And so that allows for biology and the growth in our green planet. This is wonderful, except when we have, how would you call it, tectonic activity, because water is an incompressible substance, mm-hmm. right? And the other interesting thing is that our societies are built, most of our construction, on using compression, using gravity. Gravity is holding everything now, right? And that's not real good when you're having tectonic activity. It'll come to me in a second, but Bucky Fuller did a whole thing on it, that you can build a dome and it's actually intention and is a much stronger vehicle, structure. So that when you have the Earth moving, that thing stays as one unit. And actually, sailing ships run on tension, holding things together. You know, but notice we don't build much in tension. We build mostly in compression. And so when it moves, you know, the forces are knocked off direction, their vectors, and they collapse. And now you saw those buildings falling over. It's got to be petrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like there's some significant damage, and I didn't look into it in much detail. I've been chasing other rabbits.
Right. A lot of rabbits these days.
But I think every single thing that you just described comes back to a pig pen. Because in any pig pen, as long as everything is tight, the pigs are pretty much not going to have their way. But the minute they get a half inch of play or wiggle room, at some point in time, if there's a half inch of wiggle room, the pig's going to tear it apart.
Right. Yeah. So now, you know, and of course, now we get into, you know, our zoning and all that. And did they lax on some of the zoning laws and building? And, you know, some of these cities are in fault zones were built before they had tight zoning, and may come down. And of course, this whole thing with this eclipse coming up going right over the New Madrid Fault. Well, we know the New Madrid was the worst earthquake in U.S. history in modern times, and that we know that it's overdue.
I think it was 1884, wasn't it?
It was in the 1880s. I think it was 1818, someplace like that. But still, you know, we know that when this time, if it goes, we're going to lose a lot of bridges and a lot of pipelines, which feed the East Coast. Again, we have to decentralize. And you know, you guys got all the food out there west of the Mississippi, I don't know if this was by accident or deliberate, but we got to do something about it. And the only way I can figure out is to build a huge amount of small sustainable farms in areas near population centers. Yeah. So.
1811. That was the winter of 1811 to January of 1812, an 8.2 epicenter earthquake shook.
And there
was one in 1895 as well, but the bad one was 1811, 1812.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of evidence that possibly the Richter scale has been downgraded so that we don't know that the earthquakes are actually increasing.
Is it true they're calling the one in the Pacific Ocean the 7.4?
I saw between a 7.4 and a 7.7. And then again, you go, okay, well, who's actually stating it? And oftentimes it'll be the USGS, which will be the dominant voice in the market, where other local places are going, no, it's much stronger. And so what happens is if you downgrade it, let's say if you get a 7.4 and you downgrade it to a 6.9, at the end of the year, they categorize it as a 6.
Right.
Well, the Richter scale is logarithmic, so that means that it's 10 times lower. So they're fudging the numbers. We've called them fudging the numbers.
Well, what's the psychology behind making the impact less?
Well, then they get into the tinfoil, you know, hat stuff where you're going, what would be the benefit of this? And one of the things I think is my personal one is that they're trying to hide that volcanoes and earthquakes and sinkholes are exponentially increasing. Okay, we go, well, what would cause that? Well, we're not really sure, but it probably has to do with the sun, that big glowing ball of plasma that has nothing to do with global warming. It's like, but
I struggle, and it's what the whole January, February atmospheric rivers off the coast of California and in California. I mean, it's like this fault in New Madrid. We know that it's due to come back and wreak some serious havoc. And we saw a serious havoc, 14 feet of snow one day or one couple of days in the Sierra Nevadas. And nobody wanted to pay any attention to it, which I don't understand, because it seems as though they would play that up as though, see, we caused this. When in fact, if you're a student of geological history, there's natural cycles. So I don't understand the psychology behind it at all.
Well, I think it comes down to, are we being manipulated or not? And you know, my view is most of the time we're being manipulated. You know, yeah. And you just look at a whole bunch of things like this whole January 6th thing. I didn't see any violence except for the FBI guys, but so we're being manipulated, and of course now a lot of it's being shown where it's being exposed. And I think what happens, we get to this, what's happening in Eastern Europe, right? In the Ukraine. So this is what was said. The reality is that every NATO member country already has military personnel in Ukraine, such as military attachés and people who travel to Ukraine from time to time, said the Estonia defense chief. Okay, so what is all of NATO doing in Ukraine? Okay. It's not a NATO member. And NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Ukraine is not on the North Atlantic, right? So again, we're being manipulated and lied to, right? What is their agenda? Well, it seems pretty obvious their agenda is to try to destroy Russia. Well, then who's behind that? And we're getting into these bloodline fights. And the Russians know this, by the way. You know, and so here's another one. Prime Minister Britain, Sunak, right, said that the UK is not planning large-scale deployment of troops in Ukraine, other than a small number of personnel who are in the country supporting the Ukrainian armed forces. We have no plans for a large-scale deployment. Did you ever hear that before?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tried Vietnam. Maybe Korea, right? You know, that's just, I mean, it's just a blatant lie, right? And so what are they doing trying to start a world war, right? Especially with the people who have the most nukes, right? And my guess is that they're hiding a few hundred years of basically lying, cheating, and stealing from humanity.
Yeah. Roll Route. We'll uncover the lying, cheating, and stealing when we return to the second half. J.C. Cole after this.
Oh, yes. When was the last time somebody said, "What is this world coming to? Can it get any crazier?" You want an escape from all of that for a moment? Not that you should just ignore it, but you need an escape. How about getting in touch with reality? How about listening to Greg Hager? How about inviting Greg Hager to one of your events? Maybe it's a church function. Maybe it's a chamber. Maybe it's someplace where people gather and they want to get back to the real roots. Because Greg Hager music taps into the roots of America. And when you get to the roots, you get the people who wear boots. More details at greghager.com.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole. It's pretty clear that there is something hidden in the Ukraine that they, whoever they are, do not want us to see. If you can't see that, you're simply blind.
Right. Yes. And that there's another one. German NATO forces deploying to Lithuania and Belarusia forces massing on the border. Between Lithuania and Poland. And that looks like one of the favorite spots for a possible nuke exchange because the Belarusians have nuclear weapons given to them by the Russians. And you got Poland right there and Lithuania right there. And, you know, this is where I left. I was told 5 years before the war started, watch the Ukraine. It's going to pit Putin against NATO. It's going to spread to Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. There'll be a quick, fast war, and the Russians will take back the Baltics. And it's like, okay, that sounds reasonable. Better okay. Get out of there. Now we're seeing it.
So here's the real question. Is somebody knew 5-10 years ahead of time that was going to happen exactly as it did? And now it's playing out exactly as they told you, which means only one thing. It's orchestrated. It's all scripted.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what I didn't realize was I was kind of stuck in the middle of it. Riga was the, you know, like the spearhead for the expansion of NATO and the EU. And that, you know, Reagan said we would not expand NATO, and George Bush Sr. started immediately to expand NATO, mostly under Clinton, who was his you know, puppet. And you know, people think that Bush Sr. was a Republican and Clinton was a Democrat, therefore they didn't have control. Not so. Clinton's been under the thumb of George Bush Sr. since he was a teenager, right? And So, you know, you've got the Russians very concerned that they're putting nuclear weapons on their border that's within a few minutes of Moscow. Okay. Now, considering that the Rothschilds have tried to destroy Russia for the last 200 years, I would think they have a good case to be paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And of course, What's Israel? Israel is a Rothschild state, bought for and paid for by the Rothschilds. Right? And people got to wake up. Who are these people, if they are people? I'm not even sure. And now it's all about ready to explode. You've got the Iranians who are being made out to be the bad guys, except for I haven't seen where they've gone out of their territory for a long time, conquering other nations, where Israel is obviously trying to get rid of all the Palestinians. Not Hamas, they're trying to kill the Palestinians. Okay, so this is a blood fight, right? And it's going to be exposed. It's being exposed, right? And humanity needs to wake up.
So I haven't talked to him for quite some time, but he got ran out. His name is Graham Campbell. He's from Western Australia, Kalgoorlie. He came to the United States, and I've been to his place in Kalgoorlie, Western Australia. He was literally kicked out of the Australian Parliament because he was too far right. Nobody would listen to him. And he was 10 years ago calling the Greens evil, representing Satan. It's a Green Party in Australia, which he was absolutely right. But the reason I walked through that whole history about Graham Campbell is that in all of our travels, which he traveled with me quite a bit in a week that he was here, we went to Chicago together and I just took him around to different places. He said, Trent, you guys are being so misled about Iran. He was doing business in Iran. He was shipping sheep and genetics into Iran. And he said, the United States, for whatever reason, wants to demonize Iran and they should be a good partner. I never really, I always remembered that. I didn't do anything about it. And now that you just said that, that just triggered my entire conversation with Graham Campbell so many times.
And the other thing, they're not Arabs. They're Persians. It's a different bloodline. And of course, we've been lied to by our media. Well, who controls our media? Israel. You know, this is a personal war of the Zionists, otherwise known as the neocons, from Washington. I mean, just look at all the damage the neocons have done in the last 30 years, right? And now we're on the verge of a world war, right? And some nukes may fly, and then what happens to us in America? We're the guys living in the glass houses throwing the stones.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just look, Baltimore, one ship, and then of course another ship hit another another bridge.
In Oklahoma, on the Arkansas yeah. River, it was only down for a day. They weren't quite as strategic in their placement of where they hit that bridge.
Right. But now if we look at bigger things, right, what is it? 36 rural hospitals have closed since 2020. Well, what happens if we go to war with China and we lose 80% of our pharmaceuticals? This is a disaster, right? And then we got, what, over 20% of the world's oil refinery capacity is at risk of closure. That's at risk now. That's not if they take the gloves off. And of course, last week, another Ukrainian drone, although the Ukrainians don't make drones, hit another Russian refinery. Well, at some point, you know, remember we talked about we started this conversation 3 years ago with somebody I knew said oil may go to $400 a barrel, and at $400 a barrel, agriculture stops.
Everything you stops. Know, transportation, yeah. Agriculture. Everything.
Right. Here's another thing that you guys probably don't know about, but more inflation, more copper theft. In other words, when the price of metals go up, you get people going and stealing up the copper. This happened a lot in the Baltics in the early days of freedom, where,
really?
You know, or, yo, and it was terrible. You know, you had like out of 11 telephone lines going to this one section of Yermala, something like 10 were stolen. You know, so you couldn't communicate because they They stole the copper. Well, even worse, the bandits had such low morals. They would hire like 14-year-old kids who didn't know any better to climb high power lines to cut the lines.
Get electrocuted.
Yeah. And you know, some burnt, you know, permanently, and some killed.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is what happens when we start to get that point of being not able to afford food. And you know, and all you need is, for goodness sakes, all we need is one glitch. You know, JP Morgan controls all of the EBT cards, the food stamps, for what, about 14% of Americans. One glitch and that stops, and 22% of New Yorkers are on food stamps and that stops. And of course, that didn't bring in the, where are we, 170,000 migrants in New York right now? You know, the Ann Vandersteel said a very interesting comment. She goes, oh, we're just waiting for the whistle to blow and the, you know, and things to start. Well, yeah, it looks like
whistle's been blowing, Ann.
Well, no, the start whistle, you know, from the opposition, right? But you know, and now.
Oh, I see your context. Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, you know, somebody's behind this. I mean, come on. How can you not see, Nazis? Yeah, the Nazis are flooding our borders with immigrants, some of them military age people. And mm-hmm. people go, well, Donald Trump's going to come in and round them up. Really? Try to find 22 million people, you know, in a week. Yeah, right. Sure.
Or a year.
Yeah. Who maybe 10% are military trained. You think that means that they would be knowing how to hide?
And another 10% were convicts for being in prison for killing somebody.
Right. Those are ones that are easy to spot. Yeah. And of course, you don't want to shoot those and take responsibility for protecting your own food, even though the mayor, said that we should give the responsibility to the business owners. So,
shout out to Sheriff Johnson of Santa Rosa County, California, or excuse me, Florida. Sorry, Florida, in the panhandle of Florida. Did you see the short press conference with Sheriff Johnson?
I didn't see it. I just read the part. Please yeah. make sure you shoot them so that we.
What he said yeah. was that we want you to come forward. You have nothing to fear from us. We have gun safety classes every Saturday. We'd be happy to train you so that you are a better shot and save the taxpayers of this county some money.
Yes, right. And along on that lines, where are we? Gun sales skyrocket in the face of invasion. Yes, we're being invaded, right? Approximately 17.4 million guns were sold in 2022, and on average 1.4 million guns per month in 2023. And so roughly we've got something like an estimated 466 million guns in private hands. 98% are in private hands at this time. So in some ways, that's also a double-edged sword. They're setting us up for a civil war.
Yeah.
And of course, when it rips, it's going to be bloody. And there's going to be mistakes.
And keeping us, they're allowing us to buy as many guns as we want, but making sure that they regulate how much ammunition we can tie into. And now for people who do their own shell filling, they're telling me that the ingredients to do that, not readily available. You can find them, but it's cheaper today, ironically. I don't do my own priming and gunpowder, but I'm told you can buy ammunition cheaper today than you can refill it at home, reload it. We're back with our segment, Roll Route, just after this.
Nitric oxide continues to be an essential healthy element. Well, let's see. A healthy life is dependent upon the amount of nitrate you have in your body. Nitric oxide will give you that supplement on a daily basis For 18 and a half years, I've been taking a nitric oxide supplement every morning, and I'm not swayed. I use Dr. Nathan Bryan's supplement every single time. NO2U.com. NO, number two, letter U.com. If you decide to order, put Trent as your coupon code. You'll pay no shipping. But just go check out the science. NO2U.com.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, J.C. Cole, into the final segment.
So I mean, if we actually just take a big picture, I recommend people get a big whiteboard and start putting up all these items on there, because this is a nightmare unfolding. Okay, Visa outage. Some supermarkets cash only. Well, how many times do we talk about that, yeah. Right?
That's a problem for those supermarkets, because if they have kids working there, they can't do math unless their computer tells them what the change is.
That's true. And then we get this Republican congressman, Tim Walberg, right? Went out and said Gaza should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Oh, good. Just let's promote nuclear war on civilians, right? I think Mr. Walberg, wouldn't that be hate speech? Shouldn't we have him arrested and charged with hate speech, right? And maybe put him in jail? No, maybe Rikers Island with some of those nice guys. I think what happens is we're just totally irresponsible, and now. You know, it's all coming. We've got it all coming at the same time. And the only thing I can say is, you know, please store up everything you need. Fuel, food, water, medicine. Of course, our favorite books, you know, Dare to Prepare by Holly Deo and When Technology Fails by Matt Stein, because it tells you what to do, because when these things break, all hell's going to let loose. And then, of course, you know, we've got these guys, you know, saying they're going to come and squat on our property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to work out real well. Yeah.
And you know what happened on this day in history in 1860?
In 1860, I might have a... Yes. Wait, this day?
This day. April 3rd.
April 3rd. Let's say, I thought yesterday was the start of the Pony Express.
Oh, was it yesterday?
Yeah, April 2nd, 1860, start of the Pony Express. Delivering mail by horse and rider. By the way, telecommunications is going to be incredibly important, you know? And that's why, you know, I recommend picking up, you know, if you can find some of the old CBs, that works. And also, you know, one of these small handheld radios that you can use for civilian use and also for ham radio, where if you have your license, right? They're only $25, the Baofangs, even though they're made in China. Who cares if China's listening at that point?
But the reason I wanted to talk about the Pony Express is because, I live 25 miles from where those riders would go through what was either the Pony Express or the Oregon Trail, because in Nebraska it's basically the same place. And that only lasted 18 months.
Yeah.
And yet it made an impact forever. Right. But it was all about fighting over government contracts. Who was going to get the government contract to deliver the mail?
It goes all the way back to Benjamin Franklin. Right. Interesting. Of course, you brought up last year, April 2nd, 1926, the second flight of a liquid-fueled rocket by Robert Goddard. So imagine that. You know, 60 years after the Pony Express, we're shooting rockets around.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Right. But then again, there is some good news. On April 3rd, 1789, the first U.S. Congress begins regular sessions under George Washington's presidency at Federal Hall in New York City. Right. So
you have April 3rd, 1993 on there?
No, I don't.
Trent and Kelly got married.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
Yeah.
And all those broken hearts.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So here's one that's very interesting. And we don't think about it much, but with this earthquake, April 1st, 1748, the ruins of Pompeii were rediscovered by a Spaniard. And so if you actually, I've been to Pompeii in Italy, and that was a city that was covered up by Mount Vesuvius when it went off. And in AD 79, right? And we actually, Pliny the Elder, who was one of the brilliant Romans writers, actually died during that when he went to try and rescue his friend from the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Kind of the moral of the story, don't go trying to rescue people from volcanoes. And if you look, we've got a lot of volcanoes that are active, more than we've ever seen. And these things can create what's known as a volcanic winter, and then we're going to have trouble growing food. And almost everything comes back to we're going to have trouble growing food and delivering food. Right? And
it would not be the first volcanic winter caused by, I mean, it's happened before in U.S. history.
And after. And of course, part of the French Revolution was provoked by the famine in France when the volcano in Iceland went off and blocked out the growing summer. It was a year without a summer, you know. And so, you know, that came to, you know, what was her name? Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake statement.
Don't we have an Iceland volcano that's still spewing ash now after like 60 days?
Yes, we do. Right.
And the French are talking about invading Russia. What changes here, JC?
I don't know. We ought to send Macron a book on French history. and so. And then here's another one, which is kind of disheartening, but we have to recall it. April 3rd, 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated. And it led to this wonderful song by Bob Marley called The Redemption Songs, you know, and one of the lines is, you know, how long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? You know, and this is happening again, you know, it looks like we're going to be waking up. Looks like very strange things are happening with that solar eclipse. And it's not the part about blocking out the sun, right? Other things are happening. Well, and why are they preparing for food and medical and hazmat?
Why are states declaring emergencies, states of emergency already?
Right. You know, I learned something.
For 3 minutes of darkness during the middle of the day. Why is it a state of emergency?
Yeah, I learned something very interesting when I was in Latvia, because the Latvians are a little bit different. You know, they have different values, a little bit, and the same with the Russians. And I would have my people do something, and I couldn't figure out why they did it. I go, this didn't make any sense to me. Of course, I was, you know, an American capitalist and thought I was totally correct. And finally, I asked a different question. I said, under what paradigm does that action make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at all these state governments spending money and resources to warn about hazards for a simple solar event, you go, under what paradigm does that make sense? Well, it makes sense if they know something else is happening. Period. Now that might be, you know, a bit of a, how would you say, paranoia, but you know, you're organized.
There's no logic behind declaring a state of emergency. Yesterday, Indiana did for something that's going to bring about darkness for 3 minutes of the day.
Yeah, there's no logic in that. So what is it that is logical? What paradigm does this make sense on? And you know, now you jump to a couple of conclusions that, you know, we may see something that isn't supposed to be there.
What I'm most intrigued by is that the average darkness from that strip that goes from Mexico through Texas up through ultimately Indiana, Ohio to Nova Scotia. Everybody's talking about the Ninevehs, which we may or may not want to talk about. But the average darkness at middle of the afternoon is 3 minutes, some yes. A little less, some a little more. Do you know the town that has the longest period of darkness in that pass next week?
I think it's Niagara Falls, isn't it?
Eagle Pass, Texas, 4 minutes, pass, 30 seconds, first. Where the majority of the illegals are coming across.
Yeah. And so let us get back to, okay, well, we should, with everything else going on, we should be preparing, you know, of course, everything. Because our system is so brittle. You know, we didn't even talk about finance. We didn't even talk about gold, you know, so they're about to start World War III. We've got this solar eclipse coming. They're warning us to store up food, right? You know, and nobody's closing the border. We're being invaded by people who have disease, right? The tuberculosis is going up. And you just keep on going, I'm beginning to wonder, are there only like 10 humans on this planet? And then we're all talking to ourselves going, what the hell is going on here?
Well, apparently those that are in charge are not nocturnal because they're creating a state of emergency for 3 minutes of darkness. I don't understand.
Yeah.
All right, JC, 15 seconds. What do you want us to take home?
Well, I would just, the more you prepare, the better you'll be able to handle surprises. And then, of course, if you have a group, the easier you will be able to defend yourself.
Yeah. There are surprises coming. There's no surprise here, though. We've successfully journeyed down the path, connecting food producers to food consumers. For JC Cole, I'm Trent Luce. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route.
And before I turn you loose today, I want to remind you about controlling pests, Apache sprayers, the technology, the innovation, the reliability, and the service. Simpson Farm Enterprises from Hayes, Kansas leads the way when it comes to service. If you're in the northern Great Plains, check out highplainsapache.com. In the southern Great Plains, we're talking about Nebraska being the north and south barrier. That's the Mason-Dixon line in this case, simpsonfarm.com.